this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to American Red Devils Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing?
What a buzzing, result. Sir. Down absolutely the bridge. Buzzing.
2-0 win over the Chelsea Blues. A lot of luck went our way. The Vargas
luck?
Were smiling
what
down.
Do you mean?
We got some luck for sure.
That was a hard-fought, ugly win at the bridge, sir. When you're playing away, Manchester United, you take that every goddamn day of the week. We get 3 points. Top five up for grabs.
Not complaining at all. 3 points away from top four. Could have gone the other way. First half definitely could have gone away for us quickly, but the boys hung in there, got some luck on their side, got a big goal at the end of the first half, got another big goal pretty early on in the second half, and then just held it down, got a couple calls our way. Good, huge result for the boys.
This was absolute must win. We talked about it, sir. We had to come into the bridge and win. Apparently in the league, we haven't been too great there, but we did beat them earlier this year. But we had to do it without Marcus Rashford. I think for the first half, you saw we were struggling to create anything going forward. Like we said, it seemed like we just had counter and nothing else. Martial couldn't hold it up. James was ineffective. And it wasn't until sort of like a 1v1 situation with AWB making the difference. And Martial getting up for the goal, he needed that. You got to give him credit. It's exactly what we needed. After that, we got the mojo. It's almost like we doubted ourselves. We don't believe in the game plan. Something was off in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was the same tactics from the first half to the second, but we were just playing with a lot more conviction, a lot more confidence after getting that goal to close out the first. Because the first half was not great, not a great performance from United. You know, could have let the game slip pretty easily just from that half.
A few chances from Chelsea, sir.
The boys looked much better in the second half after they had that goal, and the defense was holding pretty well. Bailly looking just an absolute beast, showing why he gets injured all the time, because he gets his body in ridiculous positions, making last-minute challenges, and looked vintage stuff, just showing what kind of player he could be if he could stay healthy.
I mean, some of those challenges, you see why he doesn't stay healthy. Sir.
No, exactly.
Look, PSA for the pod. If you want to support the podcast, visit www.americanreddevils.com. Sir, you've been killing it on the blog. We also have a store with some great merchandise, hoodies, t-shirts, great scarves, hashtag Glazers out, sir. You should grab one. We have no sponsors, so if you want to support the pod, get it directly at www.americanreddevils.com. Sir, let's jump into the match. That's right, Chelsea 0, Manchester United 2 at the bridge. Absolutely love beating those Chelsea scum, sir. You know, all the money they took from that big Russian crook.
We didn't let them forget it tonight. I heard a lot of that singing around the bridge tonight. So, they were quiet. After they get that first goal scored on them, the crowd started thinning out early in the second half.
Weak Chelsea fans, sir. Okay, football, shit firm, right? That's what we say.
That's what they say.
Lineup 3-4-1-2-3 at the back for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We had Shaw, McGuire, Bailly, center back pairing. Luke Shaw, he's eaten so many meat pies, he's now officially a center back on the score sheet. We had Williams on the left wing. We had Matic, Fred in the middle, Wan-Bissaka on the right. Fernandez playing the hole, Martial and James up top, and a two-man. What do you make of that lineup? What do you think? A lot of changes, three at the back. Really, Luke Shaw in a three?
We've seen it come off. We've seen it not come off sometimes. I think, you know, given the players we have, the fact that Gallagher is not ready to start, I think he proved when he came on he's not ready to start. This is a pretty good lineup going out there.
Igalo FC. Are you kidding me?
I can't wait. He's going to be banging them in by the hatful, especially against his old team Watford on the weekend. But I like the starting 11. Shaw, like you said, a little suspicious about that, but he actually had a hell of a game.
Look, I think the defense was strong for United. I think that wasn't the issue. It was going forward. You know, we look a little lost. Is Ighalo going to be the difference? You know, it's hard to say from the run out he got tonight. Had that chance, you know, looks like Falcao, you know, on that he had
we'll
that chance.
That. We'll get to that. Like, we'll get to that.
I was like wide open. I'm going to give him the pass, right? He's come from China, long trip, the coronavirus, the quarantine, not playing with the team. You got to give him a month. Give him a month until you judge him.
At least. I mean, that being said, he looked a little starstruck being back playing for Manchester United at the bridge. So,
but a big one, the first Nigerian player for Manchester United debut. I mean, that's pretty. I'm glad he got on the pitch.
So am I. And you know, get to enjoy the win with his teammates, his new teammates. Hasn't got much time to play with them. I think he'll come to do. I mean, we still have to make that bet about what's the over under on the number of goals the rest of the season.
I'm not touching that with the 10-foot pole and not betting my house on it. Look, let's jump in. First half, United start out slow. Chelsea ready to capitalize, looking dangerous early. Look, we're playing at their house. You expect them to come out on the front foot, and they did. Playing out the back with the back three, we looked a little shook. Chelsea was able to get some chances. 6th minute, Reece James with a nice chance. This one I thought was one of their better chances. NBC, LFC didn't even replay this one. It just came inside. It looked like it was good. Good. Looks like it had De Gea beat and then just curved out. This was a really dangerous chance. 11th minute, Conte subbed off. Massive. I mean, we prayed to the VAR gods, but I mean, think about Conte coming off in the 11th minute. They use up that sub. It would come back to bite him later in the match.
And it's their best player. I mean, arguably the best player on the pitch. Conte is such a difference maker, just shutting down that midfield. And he was doing a really effective job while on the pitch. But yeah, luck was like in boatloads today for Manchester United fans.
Look, I think...
We were fortunate. We definitely made the most of our opportunities. Martial being like the first real good chance.
I think you said it best. You said, we're shit. We looked shit in the first half. Chelsea looked shit as well. They didn't look great. I mean, they had more of the ball. They looked a little sharper in the final third, right? They got the likes of Willian out there, Pedro, you know. They actually do look dangerous up front, but they are overcommitted. And that's where we kind of were able to hit them on the break, sir. 22nd minute, this was the big decision everyone's talking about after the game, not even talking about the 3 points, top five, everything going for Manchester United. It's all about the 22nd minute. Harry Maguire goes down and then kicks out at Batshuayi. Look, the referee didn't see anything. Right in front of the Chelsea bench, everyone jumps up. It studs up. It's in a very sensitive area. And
as sensitive as it gets.
Look, VAR took a look at it, and Son, he got the red card for a similar, but his was like more of an up kick. This one was right into the crotch. My opinion, it's right there. It's on the border, and this is when you get into subjective calls with VAR. We've seen it in the NFL. It's very difficult to say what's defensive pass interference, what's offensive pass interference, and call that across how many games every weekend simultaneously have them all be the same. It's like you're going to have different VAR referees. They're going to have different interpretations. You're not going to get the same product. That's because there's humans involved. It's not perfect. And to say that isn't a red card isn't that insane. I just think the fact that we're so focused on slow motion replays in every angle, it makes it look worse than it is.
Well, I think Chelsea fans are especially irked because they got three big calls, that were decided by VAR. You could see this being a red card for sure. Less of an extension than the song one, but
the song one was definitely red. This one was like right on the board.
It was on the edge. It was a coin flip either way. But we were lucky. He stayed in. I don't think he meant much of it. I think he was just kind of protecting himself. And it was just a sensitive area. It didn't extend much if you think about it.
I honestly think he lost his head and went for it. And I think after the match, you see the interview with Harry Maguire. He looks shook. He knows he got away with it. That's what you know he's guilty when after the match, he looks like that sorry about it, right? The interview with him post-match, he was like very sorry. You could tell he was like lucky he got away with it. So I do think, you know, if I was unbiased, I'd probably say that's a red card. It's unbelievable VAR didn't call it. But as a Manchester United fan, I'm going to say it's right on the edge.
I'm going to still call it 50-50.
Yeah, exactly.
Host of a Manchester United podcast.
Look, you know what? When it comes to the officiating, and NBC does a terrible job at this, and I understand VAR's new, but they're talking about VAR, about Manchester United. Liverpool has won on so many VAR decisions, and I haven't heard a peep out of them. No one talks about VAR in Liverpool. And then after United have a huge game against Chelsea, all they're doing is talking about this red card controversy. Didn't even, in theory, it could have swayed the game. Harry Maguire did equalize, but you never know.
You lose a guy. You go 10 men to 10 men.
Never
man
say
down
die.
In the 22nd minute. It's unlikely.
Never say die. You can win. You can pull out a victory.
You can win, but it's highly unlikely.
But it's, you know,
your captain who scores a goal and is like the heart of your defense.
It does ruin the game if you're just focused on. I would think that they wouldn't want to focus on VAR. They would want to talk about the result, what this means to Manchester United, what this means to the EPL going forward. Top five now. We'll get to that a little later, but also now there's a top five. Now we have a great chance of making it, getting European football. So we should be focusing on that, not VAR and controversial decisions, because you can go crazy. You can show this video clip to 1,000 people and get 1,000 different answers.
And people will. People won't talk about the good chances that were taken by United. People will talk about the goals that were disallowed by Chelsea in the second half and this. And this is going to be a big mark on the game, the fact that like the red card wasn't given. we definitely, I think if you were going to look through the lens of an impartial judge, lucked out to a certain extent. I think Maguire probably did lose his head a bit.
You think Liverpool fans and Liverpool players are losing sleep overnight because they're top of the table?
They treat it totally differently. Wait, when you're Manchester United, you're through a completely different prism. Like the media treats you like this different specimen.
I'm not going to lose sleep over this. It's the rules. They got two looks at it. They even got a guy in a replay booth. They don't call it. So like, get over it, Chelsea. Stop your whinging. You know,
they're going to whine. Chelsea's a bunch of whiners. What do you expect?
The rule. Like, oh, the Drew goal we'll get to. I mean, like, they're moaning about that. It's like, it's offside.
Clearly.
Read the rule. Like, it's just like...
that was not even close.
Look, they won... Chelsea won the league over us on offside. Drogba was offside, scored the goal against us. That was the difference for them to win the league. Remember that one. Hey, you got away with one. You won the league.
Happens.
I mean, it's like, it happens. Get over it. It's a bad call. And I'll take Harry Maguire on the pitch the rest of the match. Sir, 26th minute. All Chelsea, Batshuayi with a great chance to take the lead. They could not hit the broadside of a barn. They got great opportunities. They could not finish. That was the story. 37th minute, first good chance for United. 1-2 between Martial. But man, Martial shot it wide, sir. Weird chance for Martial. It's kind of questioning his finishing there. It looked like he had a rough day through the 37th.
I mean, up until the 45th minute, which we're about to talk about in a second, he looked a little off. You know, a lot of it was getting ball to his feet, trying to like back up defenders, and that just wasn't working because of the units that Chelsea has in their starting 11. But he changed the tide at the end of the first half.
Sir, 45th, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, a little magic. You got to get some from AWB, the spider.
When you run from national.
And that is the commercial instead of the goal, sir.
Zero. What can I say? It was a reload and things didn't play out for us. But
look, we're going to wait on this ad for the goal highlight. And I did predict this would happen before the podcast. But, sir, what did you make of this goal for Martial? Huge for him.
No, it was such an off chance, right? And AWB doing what he needs to do to just get a little space and puts in a great ball. And Martial, I didn't figure he was that good in the air because I haven't seen him that many headers to begin with.
Sir, we can't be giving free airtime to National Rent-A-Car on the podcast. Let's hear the goal.
Sprints back onto the field. It's the final minute of the first 45. Wan-Bissaka against Willian. Good looking cross, the header, the goal. Brilliant, Anthony Martial. And we talked about Wan-Bissaka and his lack of assists. Well, that was superb by the former Crystal Palace man. An excellent header by Anthony Martial.
Superb. Martial needed that one, sir, really bad. He's kind of had a drought. And have him come up, work hard for that header, and dunk it. I thought this was a special goal for Manchester United. Pure skill from the Frenchman. Came from France. English press, they had no chance, sir. Get him an Enterprise rental car.
You got it, bro. Sign him up here. I mean, great ball from Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who gets a lot of criticism. You know, compared to another right back in the league that gets a lot of praise for his attacking threat, AWB is more of a defensive-minded player, but what a ball he puts in. And then Martial, workman goal, just unbelievable header, back corner, does everything right. Good goal for him because he's been getting a lot of criticism. A lot of people think he hasn't been able to step up in Rashford's absence. But hey, big goal at the Bridge again, you know, 2 years running.
And to go up one goal into the half with, you know, I kind of thought we could have been down 1-2. Chelsea had those really good opportunities, have a sniff at goal in the 45th and dunk it. I mean, well done, Martial. Clearly the balance of play was kind of against us. End up getting a goal that's got to give, we get a breather, we get some confidence. And I thought like the priority was going to come out in the second half and defend, 1-0 win.
Oh, yeah.
But that was not it. We actually came out and attacked, and I think we were open on the counter. It was kind of sloppy from United early in the second half.
I mean, it was definitely sloppy from United for the first 40 minutes. Once we got this goal on that other chance we talked about a couple of minutes before, I gave them so much more confidence going forward. You know, the players played a lot quicker. Bruno got on the ball quite a bit more. Matic kind of imposed his will. He had a really commanding second half as well. We had some good, better chances. You know, they were still hard to come by, but we were much more in control of the game than we were in the first, which felt like it was Chelsea's to win.
Yeah, but so jumping in second half, 54th minute, Dave saves, amazing save on Mason Mount, pushes off the post. Again, I actually thought Chelsea's best opportunities early here in the second half were because we were going forward with a little too much confidence. I thought the priority had to be like lock it down at the back, but clearly we didn't make that tactical move. Ole was going to get another goal to close it out. And then in the 55th, sir, Zuma scores from a header. Another VAR overturns it for pushing Williams. It was actually Azpilicueta who ended up pushing Williams, but Fred kind of nudged Azpilicueta again, just getting into the complete muppetry here with the VAR. And I'm going to give a hard sort of burn on NBC Sports.
Where'd you stand on this one?
Graham Lasso.
Losing his mind.
Former Chelsea player. Completely just he can't. He's way too biased in the coverage. I can't watch games with him commenting. You either have to have one Chelsea, ex-Chelsea player, and one ex-United player. You can't have ex-Arsenal, ex-Chelsea commenting Man United, Chelsea. It just, there's too bias, and the points he was making were so in favor of the Blues. And this is one of them where he's saying, Fred didn't really touch Azpilicueta, and Azpilicueta completely shoves Brandon Williams, who has a free header on the cross, and then it goes in. So this is clearly overturned for me. I don't think this is soft VAR at all.
No, we're lucky to have VAR. For sure, because a lot of these calls are now being made. I have to agree. I think it was like more of a nudge from Fred, and then Azpilicueta, you know, the two-handed push.
And he went down.
It's foul for me. He shoved him big time. But we're fortunate to get another goal overturned, because not a lot of refs want to make that call, you know, against the home team. And we got a bunch of big calls made against the home team.
But the ref even thought about it too. Like he thought about it initially, and then he called the goal. And he's like, I'll just leave it up to VAR, and then VAR made the right decision. I thought this one, no way you can complain about it. The red card was kind of on the border. But again, who cares about VAR, sir? Liverpool sure don't. 64th minute, Bruno hits the post with a wonderful free kick. Nice strike again. This could have been 2-0 to United. Huge here, sir. And we didn't have to wait too long in the 66th minute. Slabhead Maguire.
To Frank Bruno. Bruno's corner. His first Premier League goal for Manchester United. His 26th appearance. His first goal in the Premier League since January. And it could be a massive strike as United hunt down the Champions League positions. Chelsea 0, Manchester
Harry Maguire, he drinks the vodka, he drinks his Jaeger, his head's fucking massive.
Oh. Absolutely love it. Haven't got to sing that in a while. Harry Maguire, hell of a match. I mean, this is a captain's performance. You get away with a little kick, you score a goal, cheeky all around. Great performance from Harry Maguire. Great defending as well.
And what a ball in from Bruno. I mean, you saw his class really in the second half from free kicks and from corners, because we haven't had a man that could put a ball in like that in a long time. So that was such a difference maker. We had a bunch of good opportunities. Maguire had another good chance about 10 minutes later in this game. Again from Bruno. So, sir, I like what
it's
he's
quality of service. I mean, like, Bruno completely changes the game with that service. Fred getting next to him on these free kicks, trying to be like, hey, man, can I have a go for Bruno? It's like, no. I'm taking it. Bruno gets every free kick from here on out. Harry Maguire looked absolutely awesome, and the captain gets his first Premier League goal for Manchester United. He's wearing the number 5 because top 5, that's what we need
still
this
alive,
season.
Baby. So still alive.
73rd minute, Bailly with an amazing last minute stop to deny Giroud. He was all over the place. Eric Bailly reminds me of Vidic, how hard he goes in for challenges. Absolutely no joke. 77th minute goal for Giroud, but again overturned by VAR. So we pray to the VAR gods.
For a reason.
They take us away. I actually thought that this one was offsides live. It was very close because the cross came in a little delayed. Drew made the run. He was off by basically a boot.
Literally a boot.
And then you have Graham Lasso on the commentary saying that because no players, he literally said, because no players complained that it was offsides, therefore it shouldn't matter. He's absolutely losing his mind on the broadcast. Chelsea fans so salty, all the calls going against them. And this is why I know Liverpool fans love it, because it's almost better to win with these controversial VAR decisions, because it's kind of the salt in the wound. You know, it's like just like a lot of moaning. Nobody's happy. They think they should have won. Dude, we beat them 2-0. Even close.
After beating them 4-0 to open the season, and now this result, Chelsea fans are inherently salty. I'm sure if we were at the bar today, there would just be so much moaning. People would be walking out the 77th minute, people not happy. Not happy what they saw. This is obviously offside. You know, it was like almost if you were like to have a picture for a rules book about what an offside looks like, it was a kind of the perfect picture of
it's
offside.
Exactly. He was off by a foot. He was offsides. Literally, fact.
Graham was not happy. There's nothing
you can do about it. He's offsides. They called it, and the goal doesn't stand. That's the way it works. So VAR for offsides, you can't really debate it, but it seems like they were so fed up with VAR at this point, all the fans were trying to yell and chirp about everything.
At this point.
80th minute, sub Pereira on for James. 89th, Mount hits the post again. Absolute legend, Mason Mount. Thanks for hitting the post, sir. 90th minute sub, we had the debut for Ighalo. He came on for Martial. That's right, first Nigerian player to wear the red for Manchester United. Comes on the field, and man, the 93rd minute, great chance. Fred actually wins the ball up front, puts him in on goal. And again, this reminded me, this is like A little Falcao. It was one of those where you hit that finish and you're a United legend and you're hitting your stride on the way to go. And then it's like you missed that chance. You're just like, ooh, that was it was I was wide open. That was absolutely him. Goal right there, keeper right at him, and it was like the backup keeper for Chelsea.
An informed striker expects to score that goal all day. You're in stoppage time. Lukaku
scores that goal, unfortunately.
He scores it. Rashford scores it. Greenwood scores it. Most strikers would score it. The guy's out of form. He looked out of form even when he got the ball a couple times before this chance. But like you said, I think he'll get other chances. I think he'll score goals, but this is the one where if you score it right away, you're off to the races. No one's going to question. You're going to be full of confidence going into the Bruges game, probably get the start. And instead, he's going to be thinking about that. The goal, he's going to be celebrating, but he's going to be thinking about that goal, unfortunately.
Look, I'm rooting for Agallo.
We all are.
Like, here's the thing. Like, he's not going to outrun anyone. He's not a rasher. He's not going to hit you for pace. But you need him to score that type of goal, right? That type of goal you get put on through and you finish. You got to be a poacher. That's his job, right? He got that opportunity. Totally understand. It's only 4 minutes in his first game, dealing with a lot of stuff. I'll give him a pass. But that's
one.
But that is the goal that he has brought to United to score. Exactly the goal. Like when you look at Martial, he's gonna score. He can score a few different ways. But Agallo, he's got to put that away, sir. Got to put that away. And he looked a little. It looks you can tell he's like he's a half turn of pace. Like, I think you said he's testimonial pace.
He looked a little. He's like sure was untucked. He just like he looks like he needs a couple games to get up to the speed.
Looks a little heavy out
it's
there.
It's been 3 years, so we're all rooting for Agallo. Just like. It's not a great omen when you miss that chance because you hope you can hit it.
Well,
you
need to train with the team.
Right? He hasn't had that. Yeah, exactly, so I think he's going to come to form. He just like, he did some one-on-ones where he like.
Dude, I'm a Gallo FC. I want a Gallo to do well, but I'm going to give he deserves a few chirps. Like, you know, he's got to get a little faster. He's got to score that goal. That's all I got to say.
Hopefully against his former team, you know, hopefully he puts a couple past Bruges and then scores a hat trick against Watford, his old team.
But hey, if United score two goals and then we bring in Agallo, I don't care, right? But the thing is, if we're depending on him and we got nothing else, like that's a bad sign. So it's good that Maguire got off. It's good that Martial was able to score because that's what we need. Like we can't be relying on Agallo. He's got to be like Plan B, Plan C, the Fellaini.
We're going to expect him to score goals for us. This team needs goals. Martial has shown that he needs someone to back him up and provide additional firepower. We're going to hope that Agallo comes up to speed quickly. This is against a good team in Chelsea. It was one-on-one with the keeper. Maybe he just like hesitated a little bit. He would do it. You know, if he got a second chance, he'd score. But he'll get other chances. You know, with Bruno Fernandes playing, that guy is going to create stuff. What a player, dude.
He had a great game.
No. And that midfield's coming together. Matic and Fred had a great game. Good stuff. Good win. You know, there's going to be all the VAR controversy, all the overturned goals, but it's like great win at Bridge. First time we've done the double in like 30 years.
Dude, plus. It was a must-win game. It's more about like our season. The league would pretty much almost be over if we lost that game. So it's huge. Chelsea, question marks. They're on the down. They're on the decline. There's no doubt about that. We are surging back. We got Bruno. We got Agallo, FC Agallo, sir. So it's all to play for right now, and I hope that we can break through, get that fourth position. I think we should be getting. We shouldn't be worrying about fifth because again, the C's gonna appeal. I don't want to play that game, getting fifth, and then not knowing. Match reaction stats: possession, Chelsea 61% of the ball, to United's 39%. That's how we do it against the top six. Shots on target: Chelsea 1 to United 3. And this is the first time Manchester United have completed a league double over Chelsea without conceding a goal since 1964-65. So we're making history.
There you go.
Chelsea have lost 7 home games in all competitions this season. Super Frank. They're most in a single campaign since 94-95. I love that Frank's messing with the goalkeepers because that's when you know you're
worried.
Manchester United scored with both of their first two attempts on target in a match and scored 2 headed goals in the Premier League game for the first time since November 2017 against Newcastle. And Chelsea become the second side to have 2 goals awarded and then overturned by VAR. Salt in the wound. Great stat. Anthony Martial has scored 4 Premier League goals against Chelsea. Hasn't scored more goals than any other side. Those 4 strikes have come in his last 3 appearances. Also, Rashford been scoring a lot against Chelsea. And Harry Maguire scored his first Premier League goal for Manchester United. Each of his last 4 strikes in the competition have been away from home, with his first since January 2019 at Liverpool. So Harry Maguire stepping up. And you know, this is just a great win all around, absolutely buzzing. And we have a lot of matches. Like, we looked at the fixtures list and your first reaction was big game, sir. We got big games. You and me are going to Tottenham away. That is going to be huge. If you think about it, the troll, Mourinho, how tight the race is right now, 4 or 5, it's going to be everything to play for by then. We got to play City. We got a lot of games, sir. A lot of games. And this is great. We have a 2-week break. Got to take a deep breath. Now it's like, it's on.
No, it is. And the players look like they have a bounce in their step. Looks like the, you know, the winter break, as they call it, has been a benefit, because Modric looked like he had fresh legs. McGuire looked like he had fresh legs. Fred did as well. So the players look rejuvenated. Problem is, there's just not a lot of them. You know, it's a pretty thin squad. You don't have a lot of people you can bring off the bench.
Oh, you got Paul Pogba.
Eventually. I don't know where Paul Pogba is. Where in the world is Paul Pogba? That should be a running section.
Riola's comments, sir?
Yes, sir, they're in the United in the News.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, this is a... The fact I lost that stake bet is like...
He'll feature at some point. What, he's got to get ready for Euros.
Sub for two games and then he didn't
play. He played like one game after that, and that was about it.
I don't know. I think that I should maybe buy you half a steak, sir. I don't know. So. I think that's...
I need a tomahawk, maybe.
All right, let's check in with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Well, when you win 2-0 here, you're delighted. Absolutely. Well, I'd take that any day of the week. But then again, I didn't think we played particularly well. Especially without the ball. No, with the ball, sorry. First half, we were cumbersome, slow. Passing wasn't great. But we got the first goal, and then we hung in there.
That's exactly the kind of goal that you've been wanting out of the match before.
Yeah, and with Aaron, you know, that cross provided a similar one to Rashi when he scored against Newcastle, I think it was, and he does have that, and we've been working on it. So, but with Anto, of course, it's great for him to score goals like this. Normally, if you have a centre forward number 9 who can beat centre backs in the air like this, you can start crossing the ball, and he's proven it now. So now he can stick his head on more of them.
I've read that as well, but
it's a very happy with the goal, of course.
Yeah, anyway, how is it to get the X Factor in that respect, and generally how is it?
Well, he's a top player, and he's a conductor. He wants to get on the ball. He gives us many options on the ball.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer playing his vanilla ice cream after a big win at the Bridge. He did say we didn't play too well, and I think that's a fair criticism. You know, I looked at you and I said, hey, can you tell what Ole is trying to do here in the first half? I mean, the tactics were off. I think all the players have the instructions, but for some reason, maybe it's too much, or we don't get it. Like, coming out of the game, we just look rattled. Like, the game plan was out in the first 5-10 minutes.
Sometimes the boys just come out flat, and I think this is another instance of that. They just didn't have that pace, that energy that you're going to need, especially when they're trying to pass out of the back, weren't quick enough, and had the Chelsea players running all over them. So I think we were fortunate. Chelsea were not at their best, weren't clinical at all, especially in the first half. They didn't even need VAR to deny them of a goal. So he's right. I mean, we made the most of our chances.
Very confident.
Got a good victory, and he's right. Dude, luck went our way today, sir, for sure. We did enough, but we were fortunate.
Look, great win. You got to win ugly in this league. It's a results based game. I don't really care. You win 2-0 at the Bridge. Huge result. It doesn't matter how you do it. And guess what? We did it. I think we did it in convincing fashion. Clearly, people will point to VAR, but it doesn't matter. A win's a win. On to the next one. We got too much to deal with as far as the league, Europa League, sir. We got FA Cup. We have a lot to play for. We have a thin squad. It's on to the next one for me. Great result for Manchester United. Who cares what the NBC LSC punditry says, right? In my opinion, who cares?
They're going to be talking about it for a while, but all that matters to United fans is 3 points against your top four rival. Big win at the Bridge. She did the double against them, and they're going to just be bitching about it.
They can win all day, but as long as they're falling to the table, sir, and we are rising, then we are fine. Let's check in Roy Keane on Monday Night Football. When Keno talks, we listen. Let's hear what he has to say about Manchester United and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Improve for next season, I get that. But
would you think Man United should be in the top four?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, the more I think about it, yeah.
So do you think we've got two managers under a little bit of pressure?
So I think, I'm sure we're going to get to Ollie. Yeah, we're talking about Frank. I think Frank needs to do better. What if Frank needs to do better? Where does that leave Ollie? Ollie certainly hasn't won it. At least Frank's won a few games. Ollie's drawn too many, lost too many. Ollie needs, in the meantime, I think it's great having these plans when you're a manager. Yeah, we're all talking about next season, whatever. But in the meantime, when you're a manager of Man United, you need to win a few more games. He's won 9.
Preach.
Burnley have won 10. Southampton.
I was trying to tell you that a few weeks ago.
I know you were. I wasn't listening to you properly. same for Frank. I say to any manager, when you look at all the managers, a huge respect to all the managers, and I'm the first to say to any manager, yeah, give him a little bit of time. But in the meantime, you do have to win a few games. You've made the point there, Jamie, a draw. When Man United have to win tonight because they are running out of games. Because before you know it, the season will be over and you go, oh, we ran out of games. They have to start winning games. They've won 9 games so far this season. That's not enough for Man United.
Are you changing your stance then from what you told us a few weeks ago, which was that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has to be given time no matter what?
No, listen. Every man, no matter who your manager, if you're not winning football matches, the pressure's going to build. It doesn't matter what league you're in or what country you're in. League Two, non-league, if you're not winning enough matches, you're under pressure. In terms of the bigger picture, I do think Ollie needs a bit more time, of course, but he has to win some more matches, of course. But I hope to see him there next year. But 9 games is not enough either for
Ollie. What would be acceptable then? 9th now, and I know that even surprises you every time you look at the league table.
But that can change quickly, and that's why I'm saying tonight, they need to get some sort of momentum into the season. Just when we've seen Ollie get one or two results, going back to one or two games we covered to go and win at Man City, you go, what a great victory. But I said after that day, the key then is to kick on. We're talking about Man United. Anybody can win a game of football. The key is to keep winning. And obviously, I'm talking about Man United here. 9 games is not enough. And Ollie has to get some more victories. Draws here and there.
Ole has 10 games now, sir. This is recorded before the match. But Keno, talking, you got to kick on. We need to kick on. We need to do it at Watford, sir. We got to like climb up the table because we got City, we got Tottenham. We have some big fixtures, some big teams, and this race is tight. Sheffield United, right? We're jumping the table right now. Liverpool to the moon, sir. Liverpool not even close. We could win every game. We wouldn't catch them right now. That's how sad it is. City 51 points. Leicester 50, Chelsea 41, Tottenham 40, Sheffield United 39, Manchester United 38, Wolves 36, Everton 36. Not even going to tell you about Arsenal with 34 and Burnley as
10th
well.
10th place.
But I mean,
it's tight.
It's a very tight table. Anything can happen. We play Watford. They're struggling right now. They're desperate, wounded animal. So you got to be careful against Watford. But, you know, you got to say Chelsea are struggling. Tottenham look to be on the jump. Sheffield United, they look to be tough. So, you know, I really think it's going to be Tottenham and Sheffield. I mean, what do you think? Who's our big competition for top four at the moment? You could pick it all up and down the table.
Ourselves. I hate to say it. Well said. It sounds like ridiculous, but like we're our worst enemy. You know, we need to kick on. Bruges is one thing. We got to win in Europa. That's a great chance for us to get in top four and get some silverware. But the Watford game, right? How typical United would be like, you get a giant win against Chelsea,
6 a.m.
win them 2-0 early, and you just like screw the pooch, lose 2-0, put out a feckless performance, and just, you know, completely shit the bed. It's very possible, but this team needs to kick on. Like Keno said, you need to win against Watford. You need to win against Everton that are nipping at your heels. And then City, huge game. Tottenham, massive match.
Then we play Sheffield United.
I mean, those three, right? Right there. All teams that are in the hunt.
Just picking out our league games, we have Watford, Everton, City, Tottenham, and Sheffield, sir. Very difficult. Watford, we play at home. Everton, we play away. City, we play at home. Tottenham, we're away. Sheffield United coming to Old Trafford, and then Brighton away. That Brighton away, it's like those are the games. Bournemouth at home, Aston Villa away, Brighton away. Those worry me more than the big games. Manchester United, Manchester shitty. That's going to be ripe, sir, with the financial fair play, docking against City, coming into our house. That's going to be absolutely spectacular. Here's the deal. It's all to play for. It's all up in the air. All the chips are on the table. As a Manchester United fan, this is what you want. We are in it. We're in the race. And we can either win it, we can blow it. Sir, last season, we blew it. We blew it big. We melted down and... I don't think Ole can afford another meltdown like that.
No, he can't. I think he's playing for his job. I think the higher-ups are going to assume that he's had every opportunity, fair or unfair, to finish in the top four with this squad. This is where his bread's going to be buttered in these upcoming matches. He's in the big win against Chelsea to get within 3 points of them, and everything's left to play for. You
got to beat Keno Everton. Right?
You got to beat Tottenham. You got to beat Sheffield United. He's playing for his life.
Like he said, give him time, but he said he's got to do better.
You got your results.
So it's like he said both things. Yeah, so it's kind of one of those where Keane's like, he can't. I think he's good friends with Ole. Doesn't want to dig him, but he's saying like you got to win more than 10 games. So you got to do way better than that. You play 38. You're Manchester United. I mean, it's been that type of year. It's all to play for. It's just results for me. You got to be top four or top five, whatever. You have to be top four, I think. You can't be waiting on five because City... They got a lot of money, a lot of lawyers, and I don't believe this ban.
No,
I think
no. These things never seem to stick.
No, they don't.
Didn't Chelsea get theirs overturned early? I mean, like, I feel like every time they go really big and it makes all the newspapers, and then like quietly 6 months later, it gets dulled down.
I could see it being down to one season, but
even fifth, we're gonna have to play well, right? Because you have Tottenham on the ascendancy. That's no guarantee at the moment. So we need to, you know, this is the formula. We've won a lot of big games this season. You got to follow them up by winning the games that matter. And that's Watford. That's a huge match.
Looking at 538.com, they run all the predictions, all the models for top five now. They have literally blanked out Man City for top four. Prior, we were, I think, 7% maybe, I think, on the last time we covered on the podcast. Now we're 35% to qualify for the Champions League, given that fifth spot. Tottenham 48%, Chelsea 68%. Wolves 20, Sheffield United 18. So they are ranking United higher, and I think that has to do with our offensive production and strength of schedule, sir. So, I mean, what do you make of it? They're predicting United 58 points. That's kind of, it's really...
That's pretty average.
Tied with Wolves. So, you know...
They was finishing sixth, huh?
Yep. Right now. I mean, like, dude, the you can't go by this model. I can't put much confidence in it. But I would say our chances have quadrupled. With the top five, with the Manchester City ban, that's the biggest thing that could have happened for us. Even with this win, we're close to top four. But now that we have fifth is within reach, I really think if we can't do it this season, then, you know, we're not good enough, right? You have fifth, you have all the benefits. It's all the, like, it's, you can't, we have to do it, dude. We can't have Sheffield United take Champions League from us.
Well, I mean, I think the only way you'd miss out is if you finish the season like you started it. And Ole can't, you know, he can't survive another season without like such a low all year round. We started hot his first season, finished really poorly. We started the season poorly. Now he needs that uptick in form. He needs to go on a run, get some big wins, hopefully pick off an FA Cup or a Europa League, and I think finish in the top four as well. If he does that, there's going to be no one question marking his status as the manager. I think a lot of the pundits go away, offering whether he's up for the job.
If he gets fifth, people will be chirping. You know, if he gets fifth, people will be chirping, oh, you're lucky. City got banned.
Well, if he gets fifth, is Ole around next season? I think he would be because they're going to get that UCL money, which is all that matters.
If he gets Champions League football by hook or by crook, by fourth or by fifth, he will be the manager of Manchester United and well-deserved because, you know, that's not easy. You look at those teams, and no, it's not going to be easy. I mean, like 35% sounds about right.
Still got everything to play
but
for.
But you have it's not to think that Chelsea are tanking. Tottenham is not going to do that well. You have to think that certain things, other people are. What do we remember from last year? Everyone else was blowing it too, right? You know, everyone else was dropping points and nobody wanted it. I think it's going to be the same type of theme. Chelsea will be dropping points. Tottenham will be dropping points. And the question is, can we win those Villa aways, the Brighton aways? Those 3 points and those type of fixtures are going to be the difference between us getting top four and not.
Totally agree. You know, because who's our worst enemy is ourselves. The biggest, like you said, who do we worry about the most? Manchester United. We're going to have a great opportunity to finish in
top
four.
We worry about the Glazers.
We're only 3 points out. It's going to be on us. We have to win those games that aren't the marquee performances, Monday Night Football, where everyone's watching Chelsea United. You have to, like you said, Brighton on the road. You have to go down the South Coast and get a win against the Seagulls. And those are the ones that have been hard for us. Watford, you know, that scares the shit out of me because those are the performances where the boys haven't showed up and you just wake up early and it's brutal. The earlier you wake up, the worse they've been this year.
Yeah, I know, brother. There's always a next match. So many matches this time of year for Manchester United, which is great, to be honest. Club Brugge versus Manchester United, round of 32. First leg Thursday, February 20th, 9:55 a.m. Pacific, sir. We played Club Brugge other times during Champions League playoff qualifying in 2015, winning an aggregate 7-1. We have beat them before, but Wayne Rooney scored the hat-trick in the away fixture. A little history on Club Brugge. It was founded in 1891. Its home ground is the Jan Breydel Stadium, which has a capacity of 29,000. One of the most decorated clubs in Belgian football, the club have been crowned the Belgian League champions 15 times, second only to major rivals Anderlecht, and it shares the Jan Breydel Stadium with city rival Cercle Brugge, whom with they compete in the Bruges Derby, sir. Brugian all day in Belgium. They absolutely love the Bruges Derby. Club Brugge holds the European record for consecutive participations in UEFA Europa League, sir. The record number of Belgian Cups and the record number of Belgian Super Cups. We faced them before. Now they're in the Europa League, Belgian powerhouse. They got some great beers over there, sir. What do you make of Club Brugge? Should we be worried about them? I know the squad's thin and we have a lot of fixtures in the league. So it really comes down to me. Where do we focus? Is it the EPL? Now fifth, I think you got to focus on the EPL, right?
Like I said, I think we've talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You're United. You always want to compete in every competition that you're playing in. Bruges is a great draw for us. Great team to be playing, considering how many strong teams are still left in the contest. They're who you want, but I think you have to go out and put out a team to win because you don't know what's happening in the league. I think you still want to go for that trophy. It would be a big one for Ole to win. It would be great for this team to pick up another Europa League. I mean, it's Europa League, it's not Champions League.
But we got the Thursday-Sunday turnaround, and then that's that Watford game. So you got to be resting some people. I imagine you're going to see Amada here. I imagine he's going to have to switch something up because like maybe McTominay comes out. Maybe you start McTominay for Watford. Maybe you put in Ighalo. I think you got to start. This is squad rotation because, look, I put it all in on the league. Fifth is up for grabs. That's the best odds you got. I mean, you look at a 35% chance. It's probably, you know, maybe high 20s for us to win Europa League at this point. But, man, I put all my chips in on the league right now. You have to make a call. You can't be... Otherwise, you're going to be daylight dollar short in both. And I fear for Ole that way where he won't. Sir Alex always had that. Or a certain point, you just make a call.
Yeah, he had a lot more depth, right? A lot more players at his disposal. But I do agree. It's going to get to a point where he's not going to be able to compete in every competition. We've got the FA Cup. We've got tons of league games. Bruges, you know, luckily it's a close trip.
It's away.
They're not a big team. You know, it's very close. It's not like you're going to Ukraine. but I think you want to rest some players. I think you want to like play Ighalo, rest a Martial if you can, put him on the bench, maybe rest a Matic because when he gets some rest, he shows how good he can be. But you don't have a lot of backup.
I think as a veteran,
McTominay, you can start. He's probably ready for it.
0-0. That's the ideal scenario right now. You get away with resting a few players, 0-0 away.
3-0.
And then you bring him, you bring him home. You beat him at home easily with the first team. Fits in the schedule a little better. I mean, you have to be considering these things. It's one of the, like, if you look at the Brugge fixture, we play them basically a week later in between Watford and Everton. So you're going to have to make some calls. I don't know who you would rest, but you got Everton and Derby County right after the second Brugge tie. So
big games. I don't think there's going to be a lot of rest. And I think then you go into the Derby County game. You're going to rest players then. You're going to see Gomez. You're going to see Chong. You see Garner. I mean, how much of those three players are you going to see over these next five games?
We need to see him. I doubt we're going to see it from Ole. I think he's going to, you know, same with Rashford. He's just going to overplay.
Until they break, baby. keep riding them.
Like, look, it's old school mentality. Physio room talking about injuries. Rashford out long term. Now it's a little mid to late April, sir. It keeps kicking back. Paul Yagba. Hard to say here. This one, the agent came out. Shots fired against Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Complete insanity from Mino Raiola. The fact that Manchester United hasn't dealt Pogba by now, I think Ed Woodward's learning a lesson we already knew. When a player doesn't want to play for you, it's like having spoiled milk. It goes from bad to worse, sir. It's not going to get better, Paul P. It's just going to get ugly. Sell him. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to take back the words I said that they're going to pay a lot of money for Pogba.
They paid a lot of money.
Because here's the deal. Now that they know that Raiola is having shots fired and the club relationship's going completely south, now they have leverage because we have to get rid of him. So it gives United less leverage. So now we're banking on this big Paul P fee. And Ed Woodward's going to be like negotiating quicksand this summer because everyone's just going to let him hold on to Paul P to the end of the year. And then we have that option. But it's just going to get ugly, this Paul Pogba situation, because Woodward's just not going to cut bait and run.
He's not, and he's going to demand top dollar, and they're not going to get it. They're not going to get no buck 50, and they'd be lucky they get a buck 25. And I think at the end of the day, we'll end up taking a deal closer to 100, maybe even sub that.
But
lose money on it, you know, just based on like where the sentiment's been. It'd be great for him to come, feature in the second half of the season, be lights out, go feature for the Euros, be lights out, and then trade him.
Doesn't look like it. Tuan Zebe, he was training in Spain, so hopefully we'll see him. Same with Fosu Mensah and McTominay. Hopefully they'll be back early. McTominay will feature as far as Tuan Zebe and Fosu Mensah. Those could be, you know, the FA Cup rotation. I'd like to see that. Lindelof, he is out. He had a sickness, sir. A little coronavirus there, and Lee Grant has surgery, so he'll be out indefinitely, probably never featuring for Manchester United again, shedding a tear live on the podcast. Remember, my man, my boy, Lee Grant. If there's any job I want in the world, it would probably be Lee Grant's.
Third keeper. That's pretty good.
You know, you go out on tour. You kind of like, you know, do a
practicing
little warm
outside.
Up.
You get to hang out at Carrington.
Hang out with De Gea and Romero. Work on my Spanish. I love it. Sir, what is your lineup given the injuries here?
Sir, I'm going for broke. I'm going for the win against Club Bruges. I got De Gea in net. Back four of AWB, Bailly, Maguire, and Williams. A midfield of Matic, Fred, and Bruno. And a front three of Mata, Martial, and Ighalo. Ready for
Sir,
the start.
Sir, I got Dave saves in net. Could be pretty similar here. I'm going to say Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire. I'm going to put Meat Pie Luke Shaw. He looks pretty solid because I want B-dubs to come in against Watford. Matic and Fred, Bruno, they're on drop. I'm going to put Mata on the right, Ighalo up top, and then I put Danny James on the left wing. I think that does enough in Belgium, at least to get a nil-nil. That's what I'm playing for if I'm Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Get some rotation, get some fresh legs on to Watford, sir.
Play for the draw, sir. United never plays for the draw.
Sir Alex knew when to play for the draw in Europe, and this is one of those fixtures where, you know, the lads should be rested. So, you know, I'd rather, you got to focus on the home fixture to beat Bruges. Booking the bookies, Manchester United, not clear favorites, but decent favorites to beat Bruges away, plus 150, Bruges plus 190, the draw plus 220, sir.
Pretty close.
When you look at first-time goal scorers for Manchester United, who do you think is the top goal scorer?
Martial.
All right, let's see. Anthony Martial plus 350, Ighalo plus 400, Greenwood plus 450, Bruno plus 700, Dan James plus 1,000. I'd rate...
I like the Bruno.
The Bruno plus 700. I mean, that is...
He's ready. He's ready to score.
He's good to play.
He's going to be shooting outside the box.
You know, Bruno is man of the match, sir. He's a complete game changer for Manchester United, but he's not enough. You can tell he's not enough, right? He was enough today, but barely. You know, our defense, we outmatched Chelsea, but, you know, attacking-wise, Chelsea can spread it way better than we can. They're passing the final third, and that's because you need a really good holding midfielder with a pass. You need Bruno, and then you need
another
more
winger.
Balance on the wings, right? Playing that front two with Martial and James, it doesn't come off. What about a 4-3-3? You know, I'd rate something like that. I play the 4-3-3, obviously, given my sort of back four there. What's your score prediction, sir? You know the odds from the bookies. What do you got?
Sir, I'm not calling a nil-nil draw. I'm calling 2-0. Gallo gets on the score sheet, and as does Bruno Fernandes, gets his first United goal, first of many.
I'll say 1-0. Bruno Fernandes on the score sheet. Hopefully Scott McTominay off the bench. Exactly what we need. Big boost. McTominay coming back. Probably a bigger impact right now than Pogba, because we'll get into United in the news. Who knows if Paul Pogba will feature from Manchester United again? If you want to bet another stake, I might be ready for it.
I'm good. I'm ready to collect my stake.
All right, United in the news. That's right. We're starting off with it. Riola slams Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in bizarre Pogba rant, sir. Mina Riola, I couldn't believe it when I saw it on Twitter. Literally just a bunch of screenshots of text. It's one of those where you usually use the notes app on the iPhone. You usually
wasn't
put
sure
it on Instagram, but he had, like, I think he did it on Twitter, so the photos are everywhere. This is what he's got to say to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Solskjaer said in the press this week, he did comment on Paul Pogba, said, is he going to feature? And he said, I'd love to have him come play, basically saying, like, kind of an appeal to Paul Pogba, what you doing? Like, are you going to come play for us? You're in Dubai hanging out. And in response to that, Riola shots fired right after the game so he could take up as much screen time as possible. Quote, Paul is not mine and for sure not Solskjaer's property. Paul is Paul Pogba's. You cannot own a human being already for a long time in the UK or anywhere else.
What?
I hope Solskjaer does not want to suggest that Paul Pogba is his prisoner. That's a hell of a prison in Dubai, I'm going to say. But before Solskjaer makes comments about things, I say he inform himself better about the content of what has been said. I'm a free citizen who can think and express my thoughts. Until now, I was maybe too nice to him. Solskjaer should just remember the things he said in the summer to Paul. I think Solskjaer may be frustrated for different reasons and now is mixing up some issues. I think Solskjaer has other things to worry about. At least if I was him, I would. And that is probably a Pochettino shot fired right there.
No doubt.
He knows what's going on in that agent world. People talk, and I'm sure he knows what's going on with everyone. They all talk. It's kind of like you and me worked in finance. They all talk. They know kind of what's going on with all the different deals, especially in that space. He's got to know what's going on with Pochettino.
He's a power player. He's one of the biggest movers and shakers in the football world. So he definitely knows about the rumor mill for sure. Pochettino gunning for that job. Ole, his head is on the line. And this is Raiola just at his worst, just stirring the pot, trying to put United in a weak position so they have no room to negotiate. He's trying to just cause infighting, cause instability, so they just want to shelve him and get him out of the club, which I think they're going to want to do because this is just not good for anybody.
I mean, I think we knew it. I think Sir Alex Ferguson knew it. Raiola is like terrible. We should just cut ties to him. This is one thing where the whole Haaland thing doesn't make sense to me. We went for Haaland. Haaland was rep by Raiola. I didn't think we'd want to deal with Raiola again, right, after Lukaku, Pogba. You kind of had that vibe that he's kind of no bueno at Manchester United. Then we started trying to dance with the devil again, and he completely just cut us. Got a different cut deal at Dortmund. He was clearly coming to United. We balked, and then they got him somewhere else, and that was rough. I mean, you got to either be all in or all out with Raiola, right? You got to let him do this thing with Paul Pogba. You got to let him do his thing here, and he's a complete troll. I mean, these comments don't make any sense about being a prisoner or whatever. Here's the real rub. Paul Pogba's under contract at Manchester United. Manchester United can void said contract because he doesn't want to come play for them. But at the same time, we don't want to void said contract because then Pogba can go play wherever he wants. So it's kind of a game of chicken, right? So we have to pay him a lot of money to do nothing because he would rather do nothing than be with the team. But we don't want to void his contract, which we legally would have the right to do because he's not playing for us because we need to sell him on. So essentially, what I suspected all along was that there was some ruse with him and he wanted out of the club. Something's been said to him behind the scenes. Like, Raiola's saying this right now. Like, he should remember the comments that he said in the summer. Maybe he promised him he'd go in January and didn't get to go. Right, these are the type of things you don't know. They're said behind back rooms, and clearly Raiola is alluding to something. And I have to think that the conversation has to be like, "Hey, man, give me another year, I'll let you go." Similar like Sir Alex did with Ronaldo, right? You gotta say, "Hey, I get it. You want to go? We'll sell you. Just give me a year." But this seems to be like some argument behind closed doors between Solskjaer, Raiola, and Pogba. Something's not right here. It hasn't been up from the jump,
and it's boiling over in the middle of the season. You know, it's one thing over the summer. There's nothing else to talk about. It's all transfer rumors all the time. This is not what you want. We're in the hunt for top four. The player hasn't featured in like 2 to 3 months. Isn't even training with a team, which is highly suspect to begin with. Where is Paul Pogba? He should be playing for this team. Like, he's getting paid $20 million a year to play for United and isn't even practicing with him.
But he doesn't even care. That's the one thing. At a certain point, it's got to be like you have so many agents and like yes men around you. It's got to be about football. Like, hey, Manchester United, like maybe I don't like the weather in Manchester as much as Dubai, but you're playing in front of 77,000. I mean, you can make top five. You can do it for one of the biggest clubs in Europe, and that doesn't
top
even.
Five.
I mean, like, yeah, you can make top five, but I mean, like, that would make a difference. You don't care at all. This seems to be so ridiculous. This saga is just. I don't think I've seen anything like it in European football. I've seen this in the NFL. People sit out all season, right?
Not for like a player of his status and how expensive he was, and the fact that he's like a key part of this team. The fact that he's not even featuring is just like, it doesn't make any sense. You think he'd want to come back on the team, get into fitness for Euros, and instead it feels like he wants to just do it on his own, practice on his own, and obviously isn't in any rush to integrate back on the team because I think at this point he'd be training with the lads, would have gone to Spain with them, and was nowhere to be found.
I think we're done. I think most fans, I saw a lot of frustration. It was just like, F Pogba, F Raiola, we're done, you know, with them. And then
he's got some defense. I'm telling you, some of his defenders will ride him all the way out of this club. You know, I think they're probably Pogba fans ahead of United fans, but he's got an ardent community on
if you don't
line
think Pogba
that are defending
saw
him to the death.
Pogba knew Raiola was doing this. They're like best buds. Like, do you understand what they're trying
to do? He
does
what he works
Pogba
for him.
Pogba wants to leave at all costs. He doesn't care about Manchester United at all. Fine. But you said, the only thing I know is Paul Pogba cares about Paul Pogba, and this is clear that he does because at the end of the day, you think he'd want to play for United again. This is like, and I hope he still does. I hope this is just like Raiola boiling over. It doesn't look good. Yeah, like the comments that Solskjaer said, yeah, I hope he comes back. Like, what is he doing? Like, what's going on with this team? It's absolutely nuts. And that's why you sell him, Ed. That's why if a player wants to leave, you sell him because you get to deal with this stuff.
You're going to be dealt, you know, there's no buyers last summer. I think you're going to be looking at the same problem. Everyone knows you're trying to get rid of him. Everyone knows he's been an issue for you. Wants out.
Here's 50.
I'm telling you, it's 52. Like we got like 65, you know, and a player maybe.
I was
you're losing
so
money.
Wrong,
you were
sir.
So convinced last night. I was like, no, we're losing money, bro.
I remember you laughed at me today about it when we were watching the game. And it, look, it's true. It's like I was wrong. I admit it here on the pod. I was wrong. The 150. I thought like there was some momentum in the market for Paul P. And I thought he was going to come back and play well for us. But this is just blows that whole thing up.
No, Raiola screws the deal. He screws the pooch. And I think he wants to do that. He wants to be United in a tough spot.
It's gonna get ugly.
So they deal for a cut red price, because I think he knows like no one's willing to pay 150 for United for Pogba.
But I think you're right. That's exactly what this is. It smells of desperation where they know no one's going to pay the price and United's not going to want to sell them, so they're just making it ugly. I mean, that's the one way to ensure that Paul Pogba, for him to come out last summer and say he wanted a new challenge, that is like monumental for a player like Paul Pogba. The money he's on, the brand, everything he has, responsibility to the club. You never heard players say that, you know, come out. Like, you might hear it through the press, but Paul Pogba went to a mic and said, I want a new challenge. Like, that's a big move. And for him to pull this year, it's not a surprise based on that statement. Like, that's a big statement. You don't hear that from other players?
No, you don't. And then it's been a progression of events that have happened, him angling ever since Jose Mourinho was in charge. Now it's just getting ugly.
Who wants him, dude?
Hopefully we can get a good price for him, reinvest it otherwise, because I think Glazers and Co. are counting on a big fee for him to put into the war chest. Keep that net spend down.
If you need another reason to hate Real Madrid, he'll be playing for Real Madrid, sir. Just see him and Sergio Ramos. That's all I got to say.
Hey, quite a duo.
I think where do you think he ends up?
I think he ends up in Madrid.
Yeah, I'll think it'd be at Madrid, maybe 70-something, similar to Lukaku deal, like 50 cash.
Solid loss, like a solid loss, you know, like 20 million loss.
But at the end of the day, if he doesn't want to play for United, 50 million is better than nothing, right? 50 million is better than Paul Pogba posting Instagrams of him working out in Dubai while you're paying him however much, 300,000 plus a week. Next bit of news, monumental. We only got a few bits of news here. Manchester, shitty. How dare you? Ban, financial fair play, breaking the rules, sir. Overstating sponsorship revenue. We all knew they did it, and I didn't think there'd be any ramifications from it, but 2-year ban from the Champions League, fined £30 million, and boy, were they... Speaking of whinging, sir. Ooh, Man City. They were very upset. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, is there any fairness in football these days? Where do you stand on financial fair play? You think it's good to sort of lock in the clubs as is? I mean, they should be able to invest in the team if they want to. The question is, if they go broke, the owners have to bail them out.
Yeah, I don't know where I stand on this because, you know, one day we could have a team coming in wanting to spend big dollars beyond what United currently has at their disposal. I think it counterbalances the team. I mean, was what happened with Chelsea, with City, with PSG good for football?
I think so.
I don't know. It's just part of football. It's part of the modern game. But like the fact that they're actually enforcing it now, you know, they never came down on Chelsea. I guess they had that one ban, but that was overturned. PSG, they had some pseudo ban. City getting the, you know, a long overdue punishment for how blatantly, right, with their endorsements from their owner on their kit. You could tell that like it wasn't all in the up and up.
No, of course, but it was one of those where, like, I love this. This is the best news since sliced bread. We have a chance at top five now. Like you saw, the probability completely skyrocketed because of this. We are in the mix, and this means European football for Manchester United couldn't be more pumped. But to talk about, like, the actual rules, I don't know if I agree with them because Gary Neville said, yo, if you're an owner and you have, like, $10 billion and you want to throw $2 billion into your team, like, what's wrong with that? And this is kind of what it tries to stop. So it kind of tries to, like, hit pause on where all the world football clubs are so that, like, Manchester United benefits us.
No, it does.
It's kind of anti-competitive, but I like being an American, I like the free market. If you got $10 billion, you just want to blow $2 billion on a football team, like, why not? And actually, it's probably been good for the Derby. It's been good for competition in football in Manchester, right? I mean, I love it. The competition with City, I mean, it was nice kicking their ass back in the day, but now we have something like they've kind of raised the bar. Liverpool's met that bar, and I hope we go on to meet and exceed that bar. I actually think it's exciting, and the Premier League is the most popular league in the world, right? So,
and Chelsea were the first ones to do it. City followed it up and even perfected that model. But I have to agree with you. I think it's better for the league. There's more high quality players coming to the league, some of the best managers, and it's just like it's the most competitive by far, the most fun to watch. But they got nipped because they finally enforced the rules because all those big clubs that we talked about have broken the rules.
Dude, fuck City. They broke the rules. We're going to take their Champions League spot. And the funniest thing I said to you, sir, this week was, what's worse, being good enough to make the Champions League and getting banned or not being good enough to make the Champions League generally? Like, it's one of those where they're both pretty bad. But the way, if we don't make Champions League now, there's a fifth spot. Like, oof, if we don't make it, that's probably worse.
You know, definitely worse. So they got their league. You know, they won the league last year. They still get that. They're not taking any leagues away.
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, they broke the rule. It's just like, it's tough. So we got to meet. Like, I don't care.
We got to make fifth. I mean, fifth, they've lowered the bar. We just won against Chelsea.
But they appealed.
You still see us blowing it. And you can, like you said, appeals. These things never stick. Seemingly.
So they're appealing to the football arbitration something. My wife's a lawyer. I should know it. But it's basically the arbitration of arbiters of sport, European arbiters of sport. And they go to a third party. Clearly, City say they're Basically, UEFA was unfair because they decided this punishment from the start, and I'm sure they'll get some mitigation. I'm sure the fine will come down or it'll be 1 year. I still think they'll be banned, so I think five is pretty solid right now. That would be the biggest terror. Imagine if United finished fifth. We'd celebrate like we got European football, then they appeal, and then like
that's Europa. Back to Europa League.
Like that would be, that's literally a possibility.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like we could get fifth, celebrate, then it goes to appeal, and then they basically take away the ban, and then we're out. It's yeah, like that the, would be the
over
worst.
The summer, or just like we hear the nonstop.
That would be worse than not making.
So that's why you gotta finish. You gotta finish fourth. You're 3 points
exactly,
off.
Exactly.
Yeah. You don't bank on that fifth place.
Yeah, nothing's guaranteed.
There's no top five. Nothing's only guaranteed. Top four.
Who knows who's running world football these days, sir? We know who FIFA does. So let's jump into fan questions. It's been a marathon of a pod, but again, a lot to talk to and a huge win for Manchester United. At Dave Paws on Twitter, quote, a solid performance, a bit rusty from the go, but we got better. 3 points and a goal from Slabhead. Happy days, sir. What do you make of that?
We grew into the game for sure. We were much better in the second half than the first. Luck went our way, but hey, 3 points. Clean sheet, win Stamford Bridge, and you get the saltiest fans in the world are in South London today. Chelsea fans are salty as they come today.
At Heath Malger on Twitter, quote, it took 12 months too long to get him, but Bruno is an absolute game changer. We're lucky to have him. I mean, again, could have used Bruno a year earlier, could have used Maguire a year earlier, but they're here, and he's a bang-on starter. So let's wish him a lot of luck as far as health is concerned. We need Bruno game in, game out.
No, without a doubt. He looks so calm on the ball, just to provide an extra assurance. And that just quality of delivery from set piece has been so lacking for this team for so long, even beyond Ole in the Mourinho days and beyond. It was just like we haven't had someone that can put in a ball like Bruno has. That corner to hit Slabhead was just like, you know, a thing of beauty. And hopefully we see a lot more of that in the future.
At Sebi Hope on Twitter, Bruno, brilliant display from him and Bailly. James is still a substitute, should have been replaced earlier. A very solid defensive performance. Can't wait to hear this after my exams tomorrow. Shout out. Good luck with those exams, sir. Another great tweet. At T Zolski, was nice to see Bailly. Now can we keep him healthy? By the looks of those challenges, probably not. Give Bruno some weapons and he's going to be fun to watch. Can't afford any more letdowns. It wasn't pretty, but got the 3 points nonetheless. Hashtag Woodward out. Hashtag Glazers out. Don't take your eye off the ball, sir.
I think if Bailly keep himself healthy, he'd be one of the best center backs in the world. I mean, he's like, his recovery speed is unbelievable. You know, his athleticism is bar none for a center back. It's just that he overdoes it and he doesn't know his breaking point. And he literally breaks himself by just going for challenges that are, you know, the human body can't really do.
Clattering challenges. Vidic. You know, they're just like Terminator, sir, coming back from the future to defend you. At Ty Kircher, take that, you Chelsea scum. Ole owns Super Frank. Sloppy match, but got it done. Gonna have to buckle down and fight for that top five place. Cannot let up like last season's end. Love to win at the Bridge. Need to rise up and take that spot. Hashtag glory, glory. Hashtag Woodward out. Hashtag Glazers out, sir. We are going to need to rise up. Take that fifth spot, fourth spot.
You can beat Chelsea, but can you beat Watford? You know, that's going to be the big game. We've gotten up for the big matches. Now we have to go and do it against the lowly teams. And those are the ones that have given us the biggest trouble. So we will see, sir. You got to break that curse.
At Calizona Cat, quote, who says AWB can't cross? That's Captain Slabhead to you. Fred is a destroyer of souls. He's right in your camp there. Tony Marshall, Law is better than your striker. Iggy, near legend. Bruno, God bless VAR. I mean, a lot there, but I think he hit it all on the head. At you, Boson on Twitter, sad to see Agallo miss that one. Would have been the cherry on top. I know. That would have been great, sir. Well defended game with support from the VAR gods. Excited by the commitment. By the center backs, always love to see Chelsea lose. It's a little special there when Chelsea loses, right?
The only thing better than a 2-0 victory is a 3-0 victory. So it would have been great for Agallo to get that goal. He would have been off to the races, which wasn't meant to be. So he's going to get more chances for sure.
All right, at Fraser_Park_, what do you think of the Agallo signing and what do you think Fernandez can bring to United, sir? What do you make of it?
What do you think Gallo's going to bring for United? Well, hopefully he can bring some finishing. We need a poacher, and that's what we've been missing big time. So Bruno's got the delivery. He's going to create chances. He's going to be good from set pieces, but we need a point man that is going to just put away chances because we've
Gallo has an IOU. He owes us one easy chance. He'll
get more chances.
But he owes us a banger for missing that easy chance.
No doubt.
At Nick's Geek Girl on Twitter, quote, love to see them playing with heart. I was jumping around the house when we scored. I frightened the cat. That is the attitude. You, sir, you were going nuts when we scored. Absolutely. It came from nothing, that Martial goal. You were screaming. I was holding on. A little Jack. What a big, big Manchester United win for little Jack there. It was great. It was
he's
great.
He's got experience at all. He's going to experience the ups and the downs for sure.
Yeah, we have to substitute the curses and the chance eventually for him. At John Gillen 3, Fred had an excellent game. Bruno brings some calmness in the midfield. Well done, boys. I mean, just completely buzzing all around the Twitterverse. We appreciate all the comments. Huge win for Manchester United, sir. Absolutely loved beating those Chelsea scum.
It's gonna be a fun victory to enjoy. You know, they're gonna be extra salty doing the double. You know, I think they were complaining about some other stuff when we beat them 4-0. They're gonna be complaining about 2-0 at home. But hey, all 3 points, the gap is tightened, the race for top five. I'm saying it now. It's on. It's gonna be a hell of a race.
And you know what's funny is one theme on this podcast we've always talked about was, you know, they get you so close, they bring you back. They bring you back, sir. They always bring you back.
Never say die. This United team is always in it.
They're always in it, but we have to. The difference maker is when it counts. Like you said, those type of matches, the Aston Villa away, the Brighton away, those are the games that are going to count more than anything. And can Manchester United, you know, bear down and get those finishes like that Ighalo kind of dirty goal, 1-0 away win? That's what we need, and we did not have it. We wilted last season, and hopefully, and maybe Pogba being absent might be a benefit, right? Because he seemed to have a pretty poor attitude. We weren't playing well towards the end of last year. You have to think points are going to be there for the taking because Tottenham and Chelsea, they're bottlers. We know that they're bottlers. Chelsea are bottling it live. Tottenham, they have a little bit of a resurgence under Mourinho. We'll see if that can last. But I really think it's there for the taking. Like you said, we're our own worst enemy.
Yeah, it's going to be there for the taking. United have been bottlers recently, unfortunately. And we've got to turn it around under Ole and put on some good performances, win against the second half of the table. I mean, that's going to be critical. You got to get the wins against the Brightons and the Watfords of the world because those are the ones where we just can't seem to get up for a match, can't break teams down. This Sunday is going to be huge. Getting up at 6 a.m. Hopefully not disappointed.
Sir, that is it for the podcast. Housekeeping here. Thank you for everyone who listens, downloads, and subscribes to this pod. We are doing it in the bunker, running all the audio ourselves. That's why you heard a National Rental Car ad there, sir. We're going to change.
It happens.
We queue up all the goals ourselves via YouTube. That one was NBC Sports. And when they're embedded, they're always throwing ads your way. Another reason not to like the NBC LFC crew there. But look, we're a pretty ragtag operation. A lot of love for United, not a lot of audio expertise. So we appreciate you hanging on. If you like to support the podcast, we are independent, no sponsors. You can support us on Patreon. You can drop an app review or you can check out our store. We have some pretty cool merch. We have some awesome hoodies we just got in with the American Red Devils badge logo. Great scarves as well, sir. We have the inaugural scarf. We're almost sold out. Those are limited edition only this year, and we'll create a new scarf for next year. And then we have the Glazers out. That green and gold you need in your scarf repertoire, sir. You need to always rep the green and gold. I like wearing the jersey with the green and gold scarf. You know, I'm here because I'm proud. No Chevrolet on the front for me, but I got that green and gold.
It's a classic look. It is for sure. If you don't have a green and gold scarf, you're not a true Manchester United fan. Get them while they're hot. AmericanRedDevils.com. Your best place to let them know. Even with 3 points, even with a big win at the Bridge, you got to know the Glazers. Let the Glazers and Woodward know that they have no place in this club.
Oh, they got to support the manager. They got to figure it out. We need a director of football, the structure of the club. I mean, we can go all day. But I mean, like, let's celebrate these 3 points. Let's focus on the next thing. And, sir, we've had a hell of a download, so appreciate everyone. Freedom forward. Give us our top cities last 7 days as far as downloads.
Sir, number one, how you doing? How you doing? Chicago, Illinois.
Chi-Rack.
Number two, Phoenix, Arizona. Number three, Englewood, California. How you doing? And number four, McKinney, Texas, sir. Keep us going.
New York, New York. El Trafico, Los Angeles, California. San Francisco, Bay Area. Shout out. Number seven, sir, finish us off the list. All freedom.
All freedom all the time. Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Number nine, Brooklyn, New York. And last but not least, Dallas, Texas. Appreciate all the downloads. Appreciate all the listens. United's flying high, sir, like we said in the last podcast.
Ollie's at the wheel, man. He's doing it. He's doing his thing. Man United are back.
Sir, we're back. You heard it from Rio Ferdinand. Ollie is at the wheel. We said last podcast, winning away at Chelsea, Ollie would be back at the wheel. How good does it feel? We're going all the way top four, sir. Forget this top five talk. I'm worried about that appeal. We need to do top four. We need to have a strong finish to the season, and then we're going to strengthen this summer. And I'm actually going to be traveling. We might have two remote pods for you coming up. I'll be in Denver doing a little skiing, so I'll be dialing in. Pod never sleeps. We'll get you as many pods as there are matches. The wives are going nuts.
Whether by hook or by crook, sir, we're going to get a podcast out. If there's a United game, we're going to be covering it. Sometimes it's a virtual one, but we make it happen whatever it takes, sir.
Yeah, the pod never sleeps, like I said. And how good does it feel, sir?
Ole's at the wheel.
Ole is at the wheel. Bishop's Blaze, sir. Sing it loud.